of revival. The rain fell. The rain fell. All right. Revival. Revival is a study, and tonight, results of the revival. Fire, rain fell. Rain fell. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, we discussed 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we talked about the people of Israel. The people of Israel were wavering between two opinions. They were wondering, is Baal God or is Yahweh the true God? So they were going back and forth. So Elijah put the prophets of Baal to a test. He put them to a test, and what did he say? He said, okay, you prophets of Baal, get your bull, all right, and you put it on your altar. Prepare a bull. Put it on your altar. We'll prepare a bull, and we'll put it on an altar. You pray to your God, Baal, and we will pray to our God, Yahweh. The God who answers by fire, He is the true and the living God. So, if you read in 1 Kings 18, the prophets of Baal, they prepared their altar. They got their bull. They put their bull on the altar, and they cried out to their God. They shouted to their God. They cried out some more to their God. They shouted to their God. No answer. Elijah said, you call to your God, I'll call to my God. The God who answers by fire, He is God. So the Baal did not answer. Nothing. They cried out and they cried out. And then Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. He repaired the altar of the Lord. It was in disrepair for some time. And so the Israelites, they prepared a bull and they put it on this altar that was repaired. And they threw water on it 3 times. And Elijah prayed an awesome prayer, a prayer of faith. 1 Kings 18, verse 38, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. So Elijah, in faith, prayed over the sacrifice, and God shows up. And it says this, in verse 38 of 1 Kings 18, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, showed Himself to be the one true and living God. He showed Himself in fire, and He licked up that sacrifice. God showed up. Isn't that good news here tonight? And God wants to show up, friends, in your life in a powerful way. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. That's when revival hit the land of Israel. God showed up in fire, and people realized that the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. God showed up, and revival hit that land. And then Elijah said, grab the prophets of Baal and have them slaughtered at the Kishon Valley. And they were slaughtered. And tonight I'm going to read from verses 42 through 46. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told the servant, and he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on Ahab, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Isn't that awesome? A heavy rain came down. Tonight, the message is results of revival. Rain fell. Rain fell. Now, if you go back to 1 Kings 17, one chapter back, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it says this, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So So we've got to realize here in 1 Kings 18 that the land of Israel is experiencing a drought. No rain in the land. And the reason they were experiencing a drought most likely is because they were serving false gods. They were apostatizing. If you read the chapters previous to 1 Kings 17, you will find out that the people were committing sins. They were worshiping false gods, and as a result, there was a drought on the land. But when the people realized that God is God, when they said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God," and they put their faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel, verses after that is when the rain started to fall. Is when the rain started to fall. You see, revival hit the land. The people acknowledged God. They said, "He is the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh. He is the true and the living God." And when they turned their hearts away from false gods and put their faith back in the true and the living God, shortly after, a heavy rain fell on a drought-riddled land. That's good news here tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like I asked you the last time, I'll ask you tonight, how does revival look in your life personally? How does revival look in your life individually and specifically? How does revival look in your life on a personal basis? Revival in your life, revival in my life, revival in our lives looks like the miracle working power of God bringing rain to the drought-riddled areas of our life. You need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord tonight. You need to put your faith in Him. You need to make Him Lord over every part of your existence. You need to put faith in God, Yahweh, the Creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Your whole life has got to be consumed with the Almighty God. And when you acknowledge that God is God, He's in control of all your life, let me tell you here tonight, the miracle working power of God will go into effect in your life, and God will rain it down into your life, the area you need it most. He will bring His rain to the drought-riddled areas of your life. But you've got to have faith in God. Your life has got to be consumed with God. You've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And maybe your life is dry in some area tonight. Maybe some area of your life is drought-riddled tonight. Well, we serve a miracle-working God. He can bring His rain miraculously into that dry area in your life. Do you believe that here tonight?
Yes.
We say it again. God can miraculously bring His rain to that dry, drought-riddled area in your life. I don't know what that dry area in your life is. Only you and God know. Maybe it's a human relationship that is dried up. Somebody has left you. Somebody has divorced you. Somebody has cut themselves off from you, and that area feels dry. The miracle working power of God can bring His rain, His power to that human relationship, and God can reconcile it. Maybe it's in your emotions. Maybe you're dry in your emotions tonight. Maybe you're depressed tonight. Maybe you feel so low tonight that you can do a push-up under a penny. You don't want to be around anybody. You don't want to eat. You don't want to interact with other people. You're depressed in your emotions. You feel so dry in your emotions perhaps tonight. And God wants to bring about His miracle working power in your life. He wants to bring His rain to the drought riddled emotions that you have tonight. He wants to give you His joy in place of mourning. He wants to bring His peace in place of torment. Is that good news here tonight?
Yeah.
Friends, maybe it's in your health. Maybe your health is drought-riddled tonight. Maybe it's dry in your health tonight. Maybe you've been given a bad diagnosis by the doctor. diabetes, heart issues, cancer, whatever it might be, and you feel like you're so dry in your physical health. I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God who is a miracle worker. He wants to rain His health into your sick body. The miracle working power of God can bring His health and His wholeness and His restoration into your physical being. Is that good news here tonight? Maybe in your finances, maybe tonight your finances are so dry, drought riddled in your finances. You just never have enough money to pay the bills that you have. It's dry. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn next. Remember this, we serve a miracle working God. He wants to bring the rain of His financial provision into your lack starting tonight. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
We serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who brings rain miraculously to the drought ridden areas, to the dry areas of our lives. And as I talked about the last time, we need to walk in forgiveness towards our offenders. Because bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart can block the blessings of God from entering your life in a big way. Bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart can stop this miracle working power of God from going into effect in your life. You've got to release your offenders. But there's another thing that God is requiring of us. If He is to reign His reign of miracles into the dry areas of our lives, what's the other thing that God is looking for in us? We need to walk in forgiveness. And number two,
love.
We need to have what?
Faith.
Faith. Faith. He can do it if you've got faith. He's looking for the one thing that Elijah had. What did Elijah have? Elijah had this relentless, awesome, deep, all-consuming faith in the Almighty God. When he prayed in 1 Kings 18, what did he say? He said, "Answer me, O Lord." 1 Kings 18, 37. "Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know You, O Lord, our God, and that You are turning their hearts back again." That was a prayer of faith. Elijah had relentless, persistent faith in God. Do you want God's miracles raining into your life, friends? Like this huge rain came upon Israel? Do you want God's rain in your life? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, then you've got to have faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When did the rain fall in 1 Kings 18? The physical rain? God showed up in fire, right? He licked up the sacrifice. He showed up in a profound way. But when did the rain fall upon the drought-riddled Israel? It's when the people put their faith in the Almighty God. It's when the people proclaim, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And their hearts were turned back to the Almighty God. My question to you tonight is this: where is your heart tonight? Is your heart where only your mind can figure out how to better your situation? Is your heart in what the media says, or the newspapers say, or what the internet says about how to better or improve your situation? Is your heart where other people are telling you what to do, suggesting what to do in order to bring about a breakthrough in your life? Or is your heart with the Almighty God? Is your heart consumed with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, the true and the living God? Is your heart consumed with Him? Do you think about Him? Do you talk about Him? Do you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others in your sphere of influence? God is looking for faith like Elijah had faith in him. God is looking for the faith that the Israelites had when they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." If your faith is in God, He is going to start raining His miracles into your life miraculously. He is going to bring new life to the dry, drought-riddled areas of your life. What does rain represent? What does water represent? What does rain do? What does water do? It brings life. How many here want God's rain in your life to bring back to life the dead and the dry areas? Then you got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside, like Elijah knew that God was going to show up, that God will show up in the circumstance, in the situation of your life miraculously. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
Faith is a knowing that you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that God can do it for you. You cannot doubt the power of God, the goodness of God, for even a moment in time. You've got to know that you know deep down on the inside that God is faithful. And if God promised it to you, God will do it for you. Faith is what pleases God. What kind of faith did Abraham have of the Old Testament? We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh, the true and the living God. What kind of faith did Abraham have? He had what kind of faith? He had persistent faith, perseverant faith. Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him that He would make him into a great nation. 75 years old. He said he was childless at that point, but God said, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." How old was Abraham when the promised son, through whom the great nation would come, was born? How old was Abraham when the son was born? Isaac, he was 100 years old. So if you do 75 minus 100, what does that give you? Or 100 minus 75 gives you what? Gives you 25. Abraham, in faith, believed God for how many years? A year? 25 years without wavering in his faith. He had a persistent faith. He had a perseverant faith. He had a faith that did not give up. 25 years believing for the miracle. And at age 100, God rained the miracle of Isaac into his life. That part of his life was dried, but God rained his miracle in because Abraham had persistent, perseverant faith. Now let me ask you here tonight, how long have you been believing God for your miracle? How long have you been believing God? You said, how long? 20 years, this brother says. Anybody else? Maybe for some of you it's been a month, maybe a year, maybe 5 years. Maybe God has given you that promise that He would bring life, He would bring rain into that dry, dead area of your life. And God promised you maybe a month ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And you're starting to waver a little bit. Don't waver, friends. Stay strong in your faith. Just cry out to God and say, "God, it's too hard. I can't do this on my own." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you find yourself getting a little weak in your faith in God, start getting into the Word of God. Actually, you need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas time, not just at Thanksgiving. You need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, by reading the Word of God, mulling over the Word of God, memorizing Scripture from the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you that if you get into the Word of God and you meditate on it and you read it and you think about what you read, it's going to build up your faith in God on the inside of you. How often, ask yourself tonight, how often am I in the Word of God? It can't be just once in a blue moon, friends. It's got to be on a consistent basis if you want your faith to grow.
Amen.
Remember, the books that you read, The internet that you read, the magazines you read, the newspapers you read will influence the way you think. Why not be influenced by the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and read it consistently like you read the news on a consistent basis? And then God is looking for a childlike faith. He's looking for a childlike faith that does not doubt His goodness or His power for even a moment. I'm going to read you a little illustration here. It's about two little girls. Two little girls were counting their pennies. One said, "I have 5 pennies." The other said, "No, I have 10. "No," said the first little girl, "you have just 5 cents, the same as I have." But the second child quickly replied, "My father said that when he came home tonight, he would give me 5 cents, and so I have 10 cents. The child's faith gave her proof of that which she did not yet see, and she counted it because it had been promised by her father. This is childlike faith, knowing that you know deep down on the inside, beyond the shadow of any doubts, that if God said that He would do it for you, God will do it for you. But He's looking for that childlike faith. Just one last scripture, Acts chapter 9. How many here remember the two men who were blind? Matthew 9, verse 27. I encourage you to read all the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Read the Gospels. Get inspired by the miracles of Jesus. Matthew 9, 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of God, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Their faith was a confident yes. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. These two blind men had childlike faith. Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight?" And with a confident yes, with strong faith, they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe that You're able to do this." And their sight was restored. Do you believe like those two men? Do you believe like Elijah? Do you believe like the Israelites who said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God"? God is looking for persistent faith. God is looking for relentless faith that does not give up. God is looking for childlike faith. What's the one thing that pleases God?
Faith.
For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says to me that with faith, it is possible to please God. What area of your life is dry tonight? What area of your life is drought-riddled tonight? God wants to bring His rain into that drought-riddled area of your life. He wants to bring new life to that seemingly dead area in your existence. He wants to bring you financial provision. He is able to bring you healing in your physical body. He is able to bring joy in place of depression. He can bring reconciliation in place of a broken human relationship. But you've got to forgive your offenders, and you've got to have strong faith in God like Elijah had. Faith is what pleases God.